Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. In his message titled, The Wrong Ends, Reverend David Williams tells us that most of our leaders are in the job because they crave the dynamics of human power. Christ showed us a better form of leadership, the humble leader. God wants us to walk the same path that Christ walked here on earth. This is a hard job, but it is our job. It is the best job in the world. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. We are not separate from one another. As much as we may come to think that life is just us and our person and ourselves, we are creatures of place, woven up out of a network of relationships that we have with one another. And that's a good thing. Those relationships tell us who we are and where we are. They help define us as persons. And yet, as much as our relationships can be a gift, they can also challenge us, because when we encounter people who are different, who stand outside of our network of understanding, who come from different places, who speak in different ways, whose language or looks are different from our own, we can view them as inherently wrong. There's something about them that is not us and that makes them bad. That's a challenge all human beings face. But whenever we fall prey to that, we have allowed ourselves to step outside of the transforming love that is the path that Christ teaches. It's a challenge we all face. And right now, let's admit that. Let's admit that sometimes we view the other through the lenses of our own limitation and not God's love. Let's do that through the prayer of confession, which we'll now pray together. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and loving God, we each have our place in the world. We are defined by our network of being, by those connections we have with one another. That gives us a sense of who we are and where we are. That knowledge of self can be a blessing right up until the moment when it crowds out our ability to be gracious. That sense of place can be a gift right up until the moment when we permit ourselves to hate those who do not share it. Remind us, gracious one, that we are called to love others as unreservedly as you love them. Because in this moment, Lord, we know we haven't done that well. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, through chapter 4, verse 1. You can follow along on page 198 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's word. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them. Even now, I tell you with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is going to be a very weird year. It's a bizarre year. And this comes around every 4 years as the endless grind of the American political process is in full swing and our nation wrestles ferociously with this question: who wants the worst job in America? Because being the president of the United States of America would be the worst. It would be just, seriously, I mean, when I was a little boy, when I was a kid, I thought to myself, you know, it'd be really cool to be president. That'd be awesome. I'd have, like, you know, all these people in uniforms marching around me. I could tell people what to do. I get to live in a big house and I get a plane, you know? Yay! But I'm not a kid anymore. And not for a moment in my adult life have I thought to myself, you know, that'd be a great job. I'd really like that job. You know, I've been a pastor now for, you know, tick over a decade, and so I think of the presidency and leadership in pastoral terms. And so it's like you're pastoring a congregation where everybody knows you, but you don't know almost all of them. You're in a congregation where half of the congregation thinks you are thinks you're the devil incarnate. And everyone in the congregation is always fighting about everything. You know, I've in my last church, in the Korean church we were partnered with, I got to see what that looks like. Here's what it looks like if half your congregation hates you, and it ain't pretty. It's ugly. You don't want to be there. You don't want that job. I don't want that job. I don't. I would rather wash dishes in an industrial dish room than be president. I would rather sit in a phone cubicle as a customer service representative for Comcast than be president. I would rather shovel coal into the furnace of a 19th century state mental institution than be president. I don't want that job. How much don't I want that job? I have a friend in college who graduated from the University of Virginia with a Bachelor's of Science degree. And his first job out of college, you know, he's a BS, it was in environmental stuff, so he gets a job with an environmental firm, which did regulatory compliance on industrial farms. Pig farms. My friend's job was to ensure that the odors from those huge lakes of pig excrement were being adequately contained. And he was told, you have a sensor that you're going to use for this. And the sensor that he was issued to check on these giant swamps of fetid porcine nastiness was his nose. That was his full-time job, smelling pig leavings in giant lakes of them and filling out regulatory forms. I would rather have that job than be president of the United States. Why would anyone want to be in that position? It has something to do with the way that we view leadership. The way that we view leadership in our culture, the way that we view power in our culture. And Paul talks about leadership and the dynamics of power as he deals with a community in Philippi and touches on it in this little passage that we've just heard. And Philippi was a church that he knew and knew well, one that he'd established himself, This is one of the earliest gatherings of Christians in the history of our, you know, our little movement. And He wrote them an unusual letter because Philippi, by the standards of the early church, was kind of unusual. I mean, we think about the church at Corinth, and all they could do was fight, and they were constantly divided. Or we think about the church in Galatia, which would go chasing after one charismatic leader who came to them with a set of rules and expectations after another. Philippi was not like that. Philippi was a church that got it. They knew what they were, they knew who they were, and they were walking the way of Jesus in a way that warmed the heart of Paul. And so we get in this letter an expression of this grateful love he has for who they were, particularly as that community had supported him through times of challenge. And Paul had known lots of times of challenge, especially when he was writing this letter. Because this letter, most scholars believe, was written from Rome and from jail in around the year 60. And he's writing this letter, and he can't come visit them because, you know, he's in jail. And they're all right with that. And generally, that's a sign you have a strong relationship with your congregation. You know, hey, can't make worship this Sunday. I'm in jail again. Hey. It's one big thank you to the church at Philippi, thanking them for their material support in his time of imprisonment, but also thanking them for their prayers and their care. And what makes this whole letter so interesting theologically is how much he talks about the nature of Jesus, and specifically the humility and self-giving of Christ as he relates to those who follow him. That's the focus of the hymn to Christ that Paul offers up in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, where he says, if you really want to follow Christ, empty yourself of yourself. Let go of that sense of your ego and your own power, and realize that God is using you as a vessel. Be humble, doubly humble, in the face of your newly found connection to God through Jesus. And as he comes more towards the end of his writing to them, he talks about a similar idea, but with a more pointed focus, because Paul knew his own gifts and he knew his own weaknesses, and he saw how they strengthened and limited him as a person and as a servant leader. And he knew especially that as he was in this relationship with others, his ego was not what mattered. It was not about how disruptive and transformative he was as a leader. It wasn't about him being the person in charge. What mattered most was that he was in his life manifesting the truth of the relationship he had with Jesus, a man he never actually met. Paul had only ever met Jesus in the spirit, you know, lying by the side of a road, blinded. Paul had only ever known Jesus, and most deeply known Jesus, in the grace that he encountered in Jesus' followers, who, even though he had oppressed them and hunted them down, still welcomed him, trusted him, cared for him, and loved him. And Paul had faith in that. He had faith in the grace, mercy, and love of Christ, and saw that as something that defined his life, that set him on particular paths and gave him value as a child of God, but also as a leader. That was the relationship that Paul said, look to this. Look to how I have been. And look to those around me who walk the same path. Look how they live. This is how we deal with the difficulty of our own lives and the challenges of living life together. This gives us purpose. And Paul put that into the context of others, looking at the world, looking specifically at the empire in which he lived, and saying, you know, look at our path. Look at this way we are trying to journey and model for one another, and look to how broken everything is around us. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Look at what a mess people are making who haven't chosen to follow this path. And that was the purpose that Paul put before this Philippian gathering. You're getting it, he said. You're getting that our purpose is a little different than that of the world around us. The world that strives and struggles for power. The world that strains each to claw their way up over those below them. Paul taught them that faith is about that higher shared purpose. Faith is about our end, the end we share together. That sense that there is a common purpose and a common goal that is seen most clearly in the life of someone who was willing, even in a position of power, to get down and wash the feet of those who followed him. Willing to give his whole life in ways that were not particularly glorious or pleasant, his whole life for those who would follow on. That's what Jesus asks of all of us, of those who call themselves in positions of leadership, and of each of us as we have an opportunity to lead others by example. Because if we have boldness to claim ourselves as followers of Jesus, what defines us is not the big ego self-promoting dynamic of our endlessly grasping culture, but instead our willingness to be humble, no matter what gifts we've been given. What defines us if we are walking this path is our willingness to set aside that hunger for power over others that has driven the savage mess of human history. What defines us is being open to an encounter with something different, with this strange, radical grace we encounter in Christ and those who try to walk Christ's path, that if we observe it, as Paul called on the Philippians to observe it, if we observe it and make it our end, it shapes us and directs us on a different servant journey. And that is a hard job. It is. But it is our job. It is the job of everyone who wants to say, I am walking that path that Jesus walked. It's not easy. It isn't. And you don't get a plane. You don't. But for all of its challenge, it is the best job in the world. Let that be your calling, yours and mine. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is going to be a spiritually trying year. It is. Whenever a society turns itself towards who gets to be in charge, things shimmer with tension as the dynamics of human power play out. So much so that it's like, all right, I'm just going to not go on Facebook ever. It can be a mess, this struggle. But in Paul's teachings and in the nature of Jesus, we see a different form and shape of what it means to lead. Leadership as gracious service. Leadership as self-sacrifice. Leadership as something that is shared with a whole community, just as the Spirit of God, which Jesus promised, is shared. And as this year weighs on your soul, and everyone says that the goal is to fight and to hate, remember that in Christ we see a different form of power, and it sets a different path for all of us. Let that path be your bright reassurance in the stressors of what can be a stressful time. And let your certainty in that path guide you to be gracious in a year where grace may be hard to come by. Let that be your walk, because that is the nature of the way we are traveling. Let's look forward to journeying together. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this day and our whole lives long. Amen.